Welcome to Shuffle Bloody Shuffle, the only podcast that unearths metal's bangers and clangers through the decades. How are you doing, Mike?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Good. Very confident of you there again.
Thanks. Well, you know, we had a bit of a sub-in, sub-out situation, but we're back to normal proceedings.
Back to normal. John's back on the intro, and I think that's for the best.
Yeah. And for the listener, if you're wondering why Mike sounds like he's a little bit quiet, I guess he's trying not to wake up his child.
Well, yeah, no, he's asleep downstairs. He's poorly. He's asleep downstairs. I reckon as this goes on, I'll get more and more carried away and sort of, I'll forget about it for a minute. And yeah,
but once no, he's once the talk of Skyclad comes up.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Once I get the violin out.
Yeah. Folk metal week. I mean, I guess it's fair to say you weren't really a big on folk metal before this week.
I'd never heard folk metal properly, if you know what I mean. I'd never heard like a folk metal band.
Yeah.
Had you?
Maybe not knowingly. I hadn't like necessarily searched out for it, maybe in like passing, but this is the first time I've spent time with like two folk metal albums.
Do you think though, like, there's a lot of probably folk metal influencing quite a lot of black metal that you've probably heard?
Yes, 100%. And we sort of will touch on that today. So the albums that we got were Summoning, a band called Summoning, their album called Dol Guldur, and Skyclad, Burnt Offering for the Bone Idol. I'd never heard of either of these bands, but you knew of Skyclad, was that?
I'd heard of Skyclad. I'd never listened to them. A mate of mine, he was into them. Mm. And I remember him telling me about them once. And from the description I got, I thought, oh, I don't want to listen to that. So I never did.
Yeah. Fast forward 20 years and here we are.
I've just checked them out.
Yeah. Send him a text.
Yeah. Just checked out Skyclad. Do you ever recommended them to me 20 years ago? No. No, not at all. What are you on about?
Well, you did. And I've heard
I think I saw the. I think I saw the artwork for one of the albums, and I remember thinking, "Yeah, I don't think this is for me." Well, it wasn't the artwork for this one. It wasn't the artwork for this one. It was a different. I don't know what one it was.
Which album came out first? Where should we start?
Skyclad came out first.
Skyclad came out first. All right. So
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Quite
seamless.
Yeah, Skyclad was 92, and Summoning was 97. So it was 5 years.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess we'll start with Skyclad. 10-song, a burnt offering for Bone Idol. 10 songs mm-hmm. long, 44 minutes in length. How did you get on with this record?
It's a good length.
Good, yeah. Straight out the bat, I thought that's the length I can get down with, 45 minutes.
Ooh.
How did you deal with this album?
So immature. Did you say that's a length I can get down with for 45 minutes?
No.
Did you know?
Similar for the
my brain sort of heard the way I wanted to hear it.
For the purpose of the joke, sure. I said it like
yeah,
that.
Okay, thank you. Cheers, John.
I'll edit it, so that's what I said.
Yeah, thank you. How did I get on with it? Is that what you asked me?
That is what I asked you, yeah.
Do you know what? This is a tricky album for me to review because when I listened to it, I thought, you know what? There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with it at all. It's the musicianship's really good. The song's really well written, and the way they're incorporating kind of folk music into metal is really well done. But it just wasn't for me.
Pioneers, you know what I mean? Were they pioneers of introducing it? I think they're actually like cited as one
they
of
are.
The first
yeah,
bands they're to, like, bring in.
I think they're credited as the first band.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And this wasn't
English
their debut,
well.
But it was quite a, yeah, yeah, English Geordies.
Geordies, yeah.
And they, this wasn't their debut, but it was one of their early ones. And do you kind of agree with me that it was?
I am in an agreement.
It was really good at what it was.
Yeah. And I actually thought like it was quite enjoyable up until a point. And then when that point hit, it became a little bit grating, and then I was a bit like, this is outstayed its welcome a tiny bit. And
yeah,
that was probably around track six
two.
Or seven maybe. Yeah, After the intro, I was kind of a bit out of it.
But actually, so I meant track three. I thought the first track was one of the better ones on the album. The first proper track, track two.
Okay, track two, yeah. A Broken Promise Land. Yeah, I thought so as well. I enjoyed the kind of brought in the folk elements with the kind of violins, right, and the strings that they were throwing in over the top of these kind of like heavy metal riffs, which was pretty enjoyable.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the vocals as well.
Oh, what on all of it?
Not all of it. Probably on track two, mostly though.
I've got that down. Like, I put that as vocally one of my favourite songs on it. I felt like he wasn't going as full on as he does in other songs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The problem I had that he did a lot of was he mimicked the guitar melody and staccato of the riff vocally at the same time, and it was, I found it quite annoying.
I don't like that when that happens too much.
Yeah,
it's almost quite immature. Do you know what I mean?
That was one of my notes. Lazy, immature.
He's lazy.
But I don't know. I think that aside, though, that there was some good moments. There was some good moments in this. Track three was one that I was kind of unsure about. It was quite Irish pub jiggy, almost a little bit pirate, I want to say.
It was very, it was. And that, when it got, do you know what? Because obviously the sort of folky intro, then A Broken Promise Land. And I'm thinking, all right, this is, I could get on board with this. And then when it went into track three, Spinning Jenny, I thought, this is
fun.
This is what's going to, this is it. This is what's going to put me off this.
Yeah. But what I did enjoy is that I think they knew that that song was a bit annoying because they kept it quite short.
Do you know this for a fact? Did they tell you this?
Let's bring him into the chat.
Yeah. Did you think it was annoying? No, I really liked it. It's just a short song. Oh.
But they did it. They did it with another track as well. I can't remember what it was.
It was
track six, Ring Stone Round. Right, it was like a kind of softer, folky type ballad.
Probably my favorite.
Was it?
I liked it. Yeah, it was. It was a nice piece of music.
I mean, okay, yeah, maybe. I mean, my main note is that I'm glad it was short.
But when you listen to it, it always sounded like it was going to be short. It's like a sort of folk sort of interlude. But in general, I kind of liked the more mellow, folky bits they did outside of the metal parts. I actually preferred it.
Interesting. I definitely didn't.
And I'll tell you why as well, especially vocally, because when he sang on those parts, he was more subdued and he's got quite a nice singing voice.
Mm.
And I just preferred it when it was sort of held back. Like, I thought he was a better singer of doing the folky stuff than the metal bits.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't mind his metal vocals. I mean,
they were cheesy as fuck, though, weren't they?
They were cheesy, John,
weren't they?
But the whole band, they had moments. Obviously, they're cheesy in general, but it was just where that cheese was not at a level where I can get down with.
So your cheese filter, it didn't pass through quite. Some of it did.
I mean, that Spinning Jenny was a straight up no. Straight up no. It was too cheesy. But there were some really good moments. Like, there were some good... Track four, they really flexed guitar-wise on this record. I think, on this song, I think it was like the most impressive kind of guitar work on the album, on that track.
I also like the way in this song, the way the violin and the guitars work together. They seem to...
Yeah.
There was quite a good relationship between the two. It was a fun song. I found vocally it was, again, it was almost quite comedically over the top in that sort of way. But it was a fun song overall. It was one of my ones I enjoyed the most, yeah.
And they were quite enjoyable. That's the thing. Like, it's not as if this was bad. It's just... It was enjoyable up to a point, and then I just couldn't really hack it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll get into a little bit later another issue I had with this that's maybe more relevant to the next album. But yeah, for me, it's I could hear this was a really good album of what it was.
Yeah.
And really well played. I thought the musicianship on it was excellent, actually. Like the bass playing as well, and the production of the bass sounded great.
Yeah, there was a moment, I think it was track 7, there was like a bass and drum sort of like middle 8 that the bass playing was really cool on it, but then they introduced this kind of like Spanish style, like classical guitar over the top.
Was that before it went thrashy as well? Did it then go fast?
No, it went back into a really shit riff. there was such a bad, it was that kind of vocal over the guitar thing.
Right, he was
again.
Copying the melody.
Yeah. And
copying a guitar solo.
And they rinsed and repeated that kind of mirroring just too often in that song. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that. Sometimes it works if you do it at the right time or whatever, but
yeah,
when vocalists do that and copy it, it's like, as you said, it does feel a bit lazy, because it's like, come on, you've got to think of something maybe a bit counter to this to like complement it, not just copy it.
That's exactly it. I think do it once in a song, fine. Do it like 4 times in one song and then again on about 6 other songs, it becomes a bit, yeah.
Yeah. I like, he's like, you know, I like that riff, you guys. I'm going to do the same thing. Well, again, yeah, I like that riff. I want it. I want to play it as well with my mouth.
Unless he came up with the vocal melody first and the guitars
they then
like,
ripped it off. They're singing it and they're like copying that. Him.
Yeah. I'm going to change what I play to what you play, actually, and see how that works.
Yeah.
Why do we assume it's the vocalist that's done it?
Is he? He's just the vocalist, right? Does he play anything else?
Oh, good question. I don't know.
Never look.
If he plays the guitar, then that's maybe a bit more awkward. Well,
exactly. Hang on, where is he? Oh, they're the session members. Okay, no, he was the vocalist.
Just the vocalist. He wasn't doing anything else. Okay.
I bet you're going to disagree with me on this one. My actual favourite song on this was the last one.
Okay, yeah.
Was totally different to the rest, really.
It was. So I noticed in this song, I don't know if you picked up on it, but they, you know, Black Sabbath, Warning.
Yeah.
I feel that the verse melody in that, they pretty much just stole and made a song around it.
I mean, it's definitely got that vibe of like sort of 70s heavy rock, like a sort of a slight psychedelic vibe as well. It's got that sort of thing going on. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was kind of emulating Sabbath. I felt like the vocals had a little bit of a slight Jim Morrison feel as well in places on there. I much preferred his voice doing that sort of style that he was doing on there compared to the rest of it, really. I just thought the more subtle and melodic he was, the better he sounded compared to when he's kind of really pushing it for the sort of the metal type stuff. It seemed less cheesy to me when he was doing the more melodic vocals.
I wonder if that's something that he like explored on like at later albums, because this is one of their first, right?
It's a good point, maybe.
I enjoyed that song as well. Mm. From the halfway point to the end is actually really great, and there was some good guitar work in there, and there was a really good solo at the end of that song.
Yeah, there was some good solos throughout, actually, like dotted
around.
Yeah,
there were guitar, like solo wise. Yeah, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, my point with this is like, I feel quite harsh reviewing this, because I think it's a decent album. It's just not, it just doesn't do it for me. But I feel like if you're sort of inclined, if you feel like you've got the right sort of taste for this, and I'd say you kind of want to be into that sort of like maybe Viking metal sort of thing, maybe you got like, if you're into that kind of sound, then I think this is definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, if you flirt the line of like power, speed, fantasy, Vikingy, piratey, then this will probably do it for you.
Did you feel like when I was listening to this, I thought, is this like one of the nerdiest sort of sounding metal albums I've heard?
There's moments of it being that way. For example, like, track 3, Spinning Jenny.
Yeah.
It just felt like this is, I feel like I'm LARPing and it made me feel a bit weird.
Do you know what I want to do? I want to do a side by side and compare and see if I prefer which song I prefer, that one and that Windear one.
Oh God, yeah.
Because that's on. They're on the same sort of vibe, aren't they?
They are, but the Windear one I felt was a bit more palatable because it was more like an ancient Norwegian, like, I don't know, kind of variant rather than being down an Irish boozer.
being in a pub in Newcastle.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, I'm finding this really difficult to score this one. I've got something written down, but I just...
Yeah, so do I.
I don't know how I feel about it. Honestly, this has been one of the hardest albums for me to review.
Yeah, because, I think I'm in the same boat as you. So the thing I wrote down, 3.1.
You had 3.1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you have?
I had 3.3. It could have easily been a 3.1. But it also is probably... You know, if you're kind of taking your own personal feelings out of it and you're reviewing it as an album on the kind of the quality of the songwriting, the performance and stuff on it, it could even be like a 3.5, could be a little bit higher.
Yeah, that's very true. I actually did have 3.5 down initially.
Did you?
And then, because I thought musically, like, it's pretty good. Like, they're accomplished. There's some really good songs on here. But then I thought, is it a 7 out of 10? And when you start looking at it like that...
You're not giving it a 7 out of 5?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
This is an unbelievable album.
It's the best we've ever come across. Yeah, when I started thinking 7 out of 10, I don't know, it just felt a little bit too high. So
a bit too high, 3.1. John, before we move on from Skypad, did you know they did an album called Folkemon?
Really?
Yeah.
And is it what you'd expect it to be?
Not judging by the artwork, so I might have got that completely wrong.
Not Pokemon covers done in a folk metal style.
Let's have a look. Yeah, it is a bit to do with Pokemon. Only the title though, not the sort of concept of the album.
So it's nothing to do with Pokemon.
It says here, no, it says the theme is continued in the liner notes, which are the band members listed, for example, was Folkemon Trainers.
Huh. Well,
I'm glad you enjoyed.
Yeah.
They've got a sense of humour. They've got a sense of humour.
Yeah.
Not a good one, but.
Yeah. There's something there.
There's something there. They're like a lark.
Yeah. Let's move on. I think Skyclad have.
Scott, they've outstayed their welcome.
They have, yeah. All right, so what, we're fast forwarding, was it five years, did you say?
No, yeah, 5 years, 5 years.
Summoning, Dol Guldur. I'd never heard of this band.
Me neither. Are they Austrian?
They are Austrian. Now, we tend to get a lot of black metal on this podcast.
I know, I do feel for people who are not really into black metal.
Yeah, who hate black metal. Is that our fault, or is that just the way that these subgenres go?
I feel that black metal does incorporate quite a lot of other styles into it, that there's a chance it can come up for other things.
As a spin-off, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's potential for it to kind of, like, dungeon synth, Viking, folk, they all sort of, like, merge into a black metal...
Cauldron.
Cauldron. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. So, Summoning Dol Guldur, they are an Austrian black metal band, I guess, but they were more on the ambient side than the punkier Burning Church side. They kind of do, I think most of their work is around, that lyrically is around, Tolkien, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, which is like a common thing for kind of dungeon simp stuff, isn't it? Common theme.
It is, yeah. So this was 8 songs and it was 1 hour, 8 minutes, which was, my initial thought was, Mike's not going to be pleased at a lot of these song lengths. There's a few 10-minute plus.
There's a few 10-minute pluses. Let me just start with what I've got to say about this initially. This album, in general, I loved it.
Okay.
In general, I thought it was great.
But I will say with the length, there was a couple of bits on it which I thought, it's because it's all very similar all the way through, in the sense it's kind of the same pace all the way through, the sort of similar ideas.
Yep.
I felt like it was maybe a couple of songs could have been cut out of it and it would have been perfect at what it was.
I'm in a complete agreement, and I'm willing to bet that track 7 is one of those that can go.
Track 7 and track 6, the one before it as well, the shorter one.
It was shorter, so it was sort of okay, but I know what you're saying.
I felt like we'll get into this in a bit more detail, but I felt like when you listen from track 1 to track 5, it was great and it was perfect. And that's still 40, that was 45 minutes of music as well, like to get to that point. And when it ends at that point and it goes into track 6, I was like, God, this feels like the start of a different album something.
Are you not going to do the track title for track 6?
Yeah, all right. Wim Vata Glorung.
Nice. No,
I felt like it. Yeah, I just felt like by that, when it ended there, I thought, I was just like, that was all amazing. And then it started with this sort of like more piano led bit. And I was like, this doesn't sort of, it doesn't quite fit with what I've just heard.
Sorry, the piano bit on track 6 or 7?
On track 6. Like it's kind of piano led sort of shorter piece. But it felt like I was listening to another band, even though it was similar. But you know what I mean? It felt like it was a different release I was listening to.
I know exactly what you mean. It almost felt, because with that song, they added a kind of industrial sound effects, like you could hear like a heavy machinery like winding up and impounding. And then they sort of brought in this like drum that was almost quite pounding as well. It was a bit too close to industrial compared to the rest of the album. And it did make it kind of stand out, not for a good reason, but it was short. So I sort of allowed it.
Was the drum on that? Was that the one that sort of sounded a bit like Dire Straits? They're Money for Nothing, when it's just like the sort of the building up of sort of like Tom Fills. Was it that? There was one of them that had that. And I can't remember if it was 6
no,
or 7.
Not that one. I think 6 was just, it was just like a kick or a floor that was just repetitive. For me, I'm in the same. I sort of agree with you up until, but I'm with track 4 rather than 5. I thought 3 and 4 had a really good hook, like a melody that they sort of carried throughout. In number 3, it was a kind of like a horn melody that ran throughout.
And yeah, it's great. That I loved that.
I think that was my favorite song, track 3, Elfstone. And then in track 4, Kazad Dum, it was real dungeon synthy in it, and it had like a really cool folk melody that just sort of carried it. And then it was track 5 that was the fourth of the 10-minute ones, and it didn't have that kind of driving, loopable melody. It was just a bit more ambient all the way through, and I felt that it suffered a little bit because of that.
I'm in agreement. Tracks 3 and 4 were my favourite on there, but I did like track 5 as well. I thought it was really good. I think, and also track 2, like I felt like 2 through to 5 were excellent. Like, as if that was a 4-track, you know, those like kind of 4-track albums where you got like, you know, 4 10-minute long songs.
Yeah.
If it was that, I would have thought it was just incredible.
Yeah, I can agree there. I can definitely agree. It's a hard one to say. If you don't like dungeon synth / black metal / meditative, repetitive music, it's going to be a hard listen for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, but still, I feel the kind of the melodies and stuff on the synth work and that was so good, and it quite accessible in a way. It was very melodic as well.
Yeah,
I think it's worth a go for anyone that's kind of even remotely into kind of that sort of sound.
Yeah, anything folky, dungeon synthy or black metal, check out, I think, yeah, definitely track 3 and 4. Back to back, they're really cool.
Track two though, kind of was probably one of the most black metal type songs on the album. The guitars were a bit more up front, a bit more prominent.
Well, it was the first song with vocals. It was an introduction of like black metal vocal.
And you had those like pizzicato string parts that come in over the top of the guitars.
Yeah.
Which when I listened to that, I was like, oh, there's, I can hear that sort of folk influence there, the way that it did that. And
they're both albums that we got are very folk driven for sure. And I think, but they're both so different.
So different.
So I think maybe this has been one of the more successful episodes in sort of like unearthing two very different sounding albums within the same genre.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This one in particular, like, as soon as Elfstone came on, I was like, wow, this is really good, like really special. And it sounded kind of ahead of its time, I feel.
Yeah. When did Mortis start doing his...
I think prior to this, but he wasn't incorporating black metal into it the way these guys do.
No, that's very true.
I thought vocally, he had a really good voice. Very good at kind of just being evil sounding.
Yeah, it was a bit one note though. That was my...
Yeah, although I thought, you know, track 8 over Old Hills, he mixed up the style there. He had a kind of a... He started with a sort of almost a spoken word, but still in that black metal sort of realm thing, and would just sort of jump between the two. And it did show that he had a bit of a different side to him. And he could go lower as well, I noticed as well. Yeah. He could kind of do almost a death metal-y type growl in places. I actually thought track 8 was good as well, the final one.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think if they took 6 and 7 out, and maybe even the intro, because I found myself skipping.
I quite liked the intro. I liked it. I thought it was a good... It was a nice little warm-up into what is coming.
Yeah, that's true. It did work. But yeah, that was the thing. It was like an album that I absolutely loved, but I felt like if you could trim off like 10, 15 minutes of it.
Yeah.
In those places, it would have been even better.
Yeah, agreed. There was a track, the last track, there was this kind of really weird synth effect that they added in, like at the start of every bar, that was so high in the mix.
Yeah. It was almost like a hit, wasn't it? But it was like a sort of a synth hit, but almost percussive.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a bizarre mixing choice. That was the only like thing production wise on the whole album that threw me a little bit, but I didn't mind it all in all.
The production on it, because there's a drum machine, isn't it? They haven't got a live drummer.
I assume so, yeah.
And it's because they're only a two-piece on this.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. I wonder if they're ever a live band.
Are they still going? Interesting.
I felt what I really loved about the synths on it is I felt they kind of had a slight sort of retro vibe in this. It reminded me of like an old RPG.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's some definite influences there from like old school video games, I think.
Yeah, it was great. It really was. Like, that was a big part for me, was how the synths and stuff actually sounded. Man, I plan on
got a score?
Yeah, in a minute.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were leading up to it.
No, I was just going to say, like, I plan on like sticking with this album a bit, like going back to it.
I'm intrigued to check out more from them. Maybe not necessarily like go back to this often. Maybe I will, but I do want to see what they've kind of done since.
I'd like to kind of hear what they did around the time of this, like what other 90s stuff they did. Because I feel like potentially the production on it is part of the charm. And I wonder whether as it got more modern, it maybe lost a bit of that charm. I don't know. I mean, I'm absolutely guessing. I could be completely wrong.
Well, like purely looking on, I'm just looking at their artwork now for like different records. If I was to click on one, it would be the album that was 2 years prior in 1995.
Yeah.
Minas Morgul. That looks pretty awesome, that front cover. Maybe I'll go there next.
Yeah, I'll do a bit more. Maybe I'll go the other way. I'll do Stronghold, which is the one a couple of years later.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm looking at, all the artwork's pretty cool.
Yeah.
For all their stuff. And they've got a cool logo too. Cool band, man. Like, that I just never knew existed.
Never heard of. No, are they? They're quite big. I imagine they've got a following. But are they?
Well, it says they've got 54,000 monthly listeners, which is not shit.
No. I mean, especially when you compare it to our numbers. No, I really liked it. I've got a bit of a... Again, I was struggling to score this one because most of it I absolutely adore. But then I do feel like track 6 and 7, when I get to my... I'm fed up with it when I'm on those. I'm like, oh, I've had enough now.
I know what you mean.
And that feels like quite a big minus on this album. Do you know what I mean?
I don't have a score for this.
Let's just not score it.
I couldn't get there. I think my score would vary on day to day, like what I'm feeling. I mean, for the sake of giving it one, I'm going to go 3. I was going to go 3.9, but we always go there. So I'm going to go 4. Fuck it. I'm going to go straight four. Up 4.
I was going to... Do you know what? I'll give you my kind of... where I was at. So I was anything from a 4.4 to a 4.7.
That's high. I didn't think you'd love it that much.
I have to listen, especially tracks 3 and 4. Absolutely loved them. I really did. I was quite blown away by them, if you know what I mean.
Amazing. Yeah, particularly love that kind of...
go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, you love that kind of more fantasy dungeon synth, don't you?
Yeah, I really do. That's the thing. Like, synth wise, it's so up my street. Like, I was thinking, especially on Khazar Dum, that the synth part, because it goes on for quite a bit at the beginning, doesn't it? Before the vocals and guitar come in.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I could just listen to this on a loop. Yeah. Just that part. Like, I absolutely love it.
Yeah. They have nailed what they were going for.
Yeah, I love that the guitar is... There's no riffs in it, is there, guitar-wise? The guitar
Not one.
No, there's not one. The guitar's just used as almost as a background thing, just to kind of give a section a bit more impact or texture. And it's the synths that are up the top, as they should be, because they're so well-written and so well-performed. Yeah. They sound amazing.
And I do love that they spend 10 minutes on a track and they just let it go. They just let it go, like let it just repeat and loop and just, it's not like a one and done thing. It's like, nah, you're going to be in this for a while.
And I don't think it drags that much as well. I guess the only thing, shit, that was a long song I just listened to and I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't be mad if it repeated again. Do you know what I mean? No.
I feel like for me, I could easily, quite regularly, do probably track one through to the end of track 5 and listen to that as an album. I probably would honestly turn it off or skip to track 8 afterwards, but I'd feel very satisfied to sort of go from 1 to 5.
Like a director's cut.
It's my director's cut.
A shuffle cut.
Yeah, it's a shuffle cut. Yeah, I might do that. Do it as a playlist and put it back up.
Yeah, let them know. I've tinkered with it a bit.
Guys, I've tinkered with it. I know it's an old album. I've tinkered with it. I think it's better. I think it's going to be your hit. But yeah, I need to score it. I'm giving it a 4.6.
Nice. It's high, but I'm glad.
Do you know why? It's because I thought you might go a bit higher. So I was like, no, I want the boost. It's up the league table.
I need to up it. Well, I mean, it's going to be up there. It's two fours for sure.
Oh, that's great, man. Really good album. And what I was going to say saying earlier about Skyclad, it was in an unfortunate position because I enjoyed this album so much that I didn't want to listen to Skyclad.
Yeah.
And especially when you then listen to that album, think, this is good, but it's not for me. But then the other album we're doing really is for me and I just want to listen to that. I don't want to listen to this. So I felt sorry for Skyclad, basically.
Well, they've had their time.
No sympathy, do you, John?
No, none.
A cruel man. Right,
I was going to say, we're nearly done.
We got to do British metal.
Yep.
And then it's the recap, and the 90s are done.
So we're into the last genre, so to speak,
which John was saving. So John, in his sort of patriotic musical way, wanted to do British metal.
Well, hang on. I think this has all been blown a bit up out of proportion. At the start, when we were struggling to kind of, not struggling, but we wanted to just hit the 90s with a lot more content, I was like, oh, potentially British. But we've made it into a thing now that it's just some Brexit, pro-Brexit.
Never said Brexit. Never said Brexit. John's wearing a poppy with his chest puffed out.
What are those outfits, you know, where they've got loads of like pearl buttons sewn in? Oh, you know, you must know what I mean.
But what do you sort of see, like walking around with the royal family?
They're really old. They're, it's a very old-timey thing, but they have like these black suits that have got loads of pearl buttons sewn into them.
Oh, I sort of know what you mean. You're sat there dressed as a beef eater. John's doing that episode on the top of like a London bus tour.
Open bus tour.
You're gonna sort of do a sightseeing thing of London whilst we do the episode.
talk you through historic landmarks.
Yeah. Right. Let's have a chat with the shuffler about this, because we need to figure out how he's gonna spew us out some British metal.
Well, I'm typing in British now, right? And would you like me to just read out the two that come up? So the two that come up, you've got British folk, and then you've got British invasion.
Okay. Right, John, I would recommend that we cue the music and let's go and see what we can find. Right, John, how did you get on? Did you find something?
Yeah, I definitely found something. We had to do a little bit of magic to sort of get British metal working in the 90s, but we're there.
We are there. And the thing is, because this is British metal, it could be any style, couldn't it? Anything.
And I have got a good one.
You've got a good one?
I've got a very good one.
I've got one I've never heard of before, but I can't wait for you to see it.
So you've got potentially a bad one?
Yeah, big time.
Perfect.
It could be great, though. It could be great.
Go on. Who have you got?
I've got a band called Benediction, and the album's called Grind Bastard.
Grimy Bastard?
No, Grind. Grimy Bastard.
Grimy Bastard.
John, look it up.
How are you spelling Benediction?
I need you to see the artwork.
Okay, yeah, Benediction. I think I found them. Grind Bastard. I found it. What is that?
Have you got the art, yeah?
What the hell?
I'm so intrigued. I can't wait to listen to this.
So, okay, for those people wondering, it's how the fuck do you explain this?
It looks like a sci-fi film from the 80s, sort of VHS cover.
Kind of, yeah.
There's a guy in
weird mesh, like a mesh wireframe suit, but he's like got these pulsing, like bright red eyes. And in the background, it says grind, like with some... this is beyond explanation.
I really like it. I'm like you with Synergy.
Yeah, amazing. I have no idea what this is going to sound like. I couldn't guess.
Well, maybe the grind bit would probably give something away.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the song lengths and they're like 4 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think they grind.
Well, let's say no more and find out. We'll talk about it next week.
We'll talk about it next week. Okay, well, I've got something a little more known.
Go on.
And I think you're going to like this one.
Go on.
I have got Warmaster by Bolt Thrower.
Ooh.
Yep.
I was hoping we'd get a bit of Bolt Thrower.
I'm so glad we got a bit of Bolt Thrower in the 90s. That's great.
Yeah, and actually, I'll be honest, it's an album by Bolt Thrower that I know it's one of their big ones as well. And if I listen to Bolt Thrower, I always listen to The Fourth Crusade. I never really listen to this one.
Okay.
This is an earlier one, isn't it, theirs?
Yeah. I've heard this a lot. I've got this on vinyl, so there's...
You're quite well-versed in this album.
Without giving anything away, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about it, though.
I'm
massively.
I'm excited to give this some time because, yeah, as I said, I and actually, The Fourth Crusade is the one that came out after this. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to giving this a bit of a go.
Yeah, I'm excited to sort of dive into that and Benediction Grind Bastard. The intrigue is killing me. I actually can't wait to get into this.
I've got to be honest, I feel like we've got two death metal albums.
Potentially. Yeah. Hang on, let me just see what Benediction.
Well, they came out of Nuclear Blast.
Did they?
Yeah.
It doesn't actually really say what it is on this Spotify mini.
I've just seen a photo from I've looked at it, they're definitely death metal.
Yeah, they look like they could be.
Yeah, they're death metal.
Are they British?
Yeah, from Birmingham, which is a good sign.
Birmingham.
Do it again.
Birmingham.
Say something else.
That's all I got.
It's the easiest thing to say in a Brummy accent, isn't it?
It really is. They made it easy. They knew what they were doing.
Right, so next week, British Metal. John's British Metal Week.
We don't have to include my name in the forefront of it.
Join us next week for John's British Metal Week. British beef and British beer. British metal. Stiff upper lip.